Well, today we're going to continue in our series that we have started that we've called Revealing the Champion in You. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's a champion inside you. There is a champion inside you. Now, how many, when you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and say, man, look at this champion? My five-year-old son, he does that every morning. He looks in the mirror, he says, I am the man. Last week they were singing, and they told me they were singing in preschool. They were singing, he's 5 years old, they were singing in preschool, and they were singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Though I am weak, he is strong. When you get that part, it says, though I am weak, he stopped the whole class and said, I ain't weak. He's the man. He's got a champ. He's already got the right attitude about himself. He knows he's a champion already. He's a champion in his own mind. How many know that's the best place right there? I'm a legend in my own mind. Yeah, I'm a champion in my own mind. But inside of us, there is a spiritual giant. There's a spiritual champion inside every one of us. Isn't that a great thing? That it's not just the giftings of natural giftings given to you to be a special Olympic athlete. Now, we talk a lot about the Olympics. We talk a lot about how that correlates with our spiritual walk and training. And we talked about endurance, staying focused, about how champions stay focused. And we talked about staying focused. And we talked about endurance and how champions stay endure the race. And last week we talked about the endurance of letting go of the past. And we really talked about it a lot last week, about letting go of our luggage. And I hope this week that many of you did that spiritually. That you, when you walked out of the door on Monday morning, you didn't pick up that suitcase and carry it out with you. That suitcase of rejection, of hurt, of past things, where God says we ought to lay aside every weight that so easily weighs us down and slows us down, and run this race with endurance and run it to win. So we know today that we're called to win. I am called to win. You are called to win. And I need refreshing water in the name of the Lord. Yes, thank you. You read my mind. And we all have a champion inside of us, and we got to stay refreshed. We got to stay hydrated, right? Oh, this is good water, too. I'm feeling better already. But staying hydrated, we talked last week about letting go of those weights. And we used the example about running. Me and Carlos were going to race, and how he was a track star for the state of Missouri, and how fast he was coming out of high school, going to Missouri Southern. And I asked you how many of you thought that who would win between a sprint between me and Carlos, and you guys picked Carlos, and I couldn't believe that. That really disappointed me. I thought, where is the love? And no, next week, next time I ask that question, I'm at least bringing my kids into the auditorium so I can at least have five people who will at least say their dad will win, okay? You know, somebody's got to vote for me. But as I talked about me and Carlos racing, I brought out suitcases and I handed it to them, and I said, this is how we level out the playing field right here. I will beat Carlos because he can't beat me carrying all that luggage. He may beat me for a few steps, but he ain't going to beat me the long term carrying all that weight and all that baggage. And that's the same way with you and I, that we run our race and we're trying to be the champion God's called us to be. But when we walk out that door, we carry those suitcases with us. And we grab that suitcase of hurt and rejection, bitterness, unforgiveness. And, man, we take it with us. And many of us, we ride around the car like this. Can't even hardly get over the steering wheel to see the road because we got so much baggage with us. Many of us are going through our life trying to type on a computer at work, and you can't even reach the keyboard because you got all the spiritual baggage with it that you're carrying. And we got to learn to let that go and run with endurance. Stay refreshed along the way. Today, I want to talk to you about how to play like an MVP. How to play like an MVP. Now, how many want to be an MVP? How many know what an MVP is? Most valuable player, okay? Many times in the game, they'll give out an MVP for the game, which stands for most valuable player in the game. And I want to be an MVP. I want to be the MVP that God has called me to be. I want to have value to the Christian walk. I want to add value to what God has called me to do. And I know that many of you do also. I want you to think about it for a second. What would you do if you could win a gold medal for any event in the Olympics, whether it be winter or summer Olympics? It doesn't make a difference. In your mind, what would you want? You know, can you think about it? Many of you think about, you know, gymnastic stars or track athletes. What would you do? What would be your goal? You know, some of you think about, you know, skiing. And then you land, you know. You think all those things, snowboarding, I mean, the X Games. Some of you think, well, could you win a gold medal, anything? What would it be? I think, you know, archery would be a good thing. As a father, that would come really in handy. I think it would be really good in keeping up with my kids. But what would a gold medal be in your life? What would you think of gold medal? What would you want to win it for? And I think that all of us would want to win something. We want to focus on today on really getting our life on what would be get the gold medal spiritually for. What would God reward us for? What would God really want to do in our life to give us the reward of saying, you are a champion. You're the one that is the MVP, the one I'm using to have value to people's lives. You're living like a champion. We talked about staying focused. We talked about endurance. And today we're going to talk about how to play with this MVP team. The Bible has a lot to say about people we hang around. Do you realize that? Some of you may not know that. In case you forgot, I preached quite a bit on this since the first of the year. And today is no exception. I'm going to talk quite a bit about relationships and the teammates we have around us. And this is such an important part. Whether you're a teenager today or whether you're a young adult or you're an empty nester or you're grandparents or even great-grandparents, we all need a great team around us, okay? There's no superstars in God's kingdom. There's no one act person here. God's not looking for one person that does it by himself, but he's looking for people. And that's how we get better, by teaming up with the local body. And we're getting involved with people, building relationships, and together we can do more. Scripture is very clear what it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Let's read it together. It says, and two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help him. But people who are alone, when they fall, are in real trouble. They've fallen and they can't get up. I'm sorry, I couldn't pass that up. And on a cold, look what it says here. And on a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other. No sleeping single on the double bed. That's what it says right here. And on a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And this is the text we're using today, of knowing that God has called us to build a team of people around us. If you have missed that point, you're missing out on what Christianity is all about. That God has never called you to be the Lone Ranger. God has never called you to live your life alone. But God has called you to be around a people, a team of people who will make you better, who will strengthen you and help you along this journey. We've got to learn to create little teams of people around us. It's all right to be a part of a big team of the congregation. You know, we come here and the whole team's here, and we get a pep talk from the coach, you know, and we get this thing going. The band, pep band's here, and they get us going. We worship the Lord. We get energized. We get instructed, you know, and we're ready to go out and do God's work. But it's important that as we leave the congregation, the team, that we continue to have smaller groups of teams that we're involved in. Because we need each other in the worst way possible. We need each other. That's how we're going to make it. That's how we're going to become and create the most valuable person that God has called you to be, is being involved in people's lives. You know, relational is in our DNA. It's in our DNA to be connected to people. God has put it there. When God created the waters, he said it was what? Good. When God created the trees of the field, he said it was what? Good. When he said, let there be light, there was light. And God said, what? It was good. When God created man, he said, it was not good. Can you believe that? When God created man, he said, it was not good. He said, there's something missing here. What was missing? A woman. That's right. Some of you guys, that's right. Because a woman was not even around then. That's right. And so God said, this is not good. There's something missing. So he created a helpmate. He created a partner, a teammate. And when he created a teammate, he said, now that's good. And all the guys say, amen, amen. It was a good thing when God created woman. And today we see that man was never created to be alone, that God has always created us to be a part of teams of people, that we need each other, that we are never called to walk it alone. We need each other. We need just people in our lives. We don't just need anybody. We need MVPs around us. We need people who are going to make us better. People who are going to strive to make us to become the people that God has called us to be. Proverbs 13 says, whoever walks in the wise with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with the fools will suffer harm. Now, in case you don't understand what that means, let me translate that for you. I know this is a hard verse to understand, and sometimes a scripture needs theological description. And so in case you don't understand this, let me just break it down for you. Hey, if you don't want to be a fool, don't hang around fools. If you want to be smart, you want to have spiritual wisdom, then hang around those who have spiritual wisdom. This is not a hard scripture to understand. But yet many of us, I don't know why I'm not growing in my walk with God. I don't know why I'm not getting any spiritual wiser. And I say, I can first of all just tell you, turn around and look who you're hanging around. Who are the people that you are connected with daily? Are they people who bring you up or people who bring you down? Are they people who encourage you or people who discourage you? We've got to have the right kind of people who to bring us to be the person God has called us to be. In my message today, I want to do is encourage you to take a step of faith. A step of faith in all your relationships. Take a step of faith in your relationships that will take you to the next level. We have this process of how relationships go, and I have wrote them down. They put them on the overhead. Some of you who are leading small groups, you're going to write some of this down because I didn't give it to you in your notes. But I believe relationships go from superficial to social to spiritual to significant and then ultimately to a soulmate. I see these different stages, and we have these different stages of relationships. Superficial, that's where you see somebody, and you're like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, God bless you. You know, you really don't know who they are, and every time you see them, you just smile, and you just kind of wave, you know. But you really don't. You're just being kind of superficial. There's no relationship there at all. Then you got those who you're social with. You see them out in public. You know, hey, how you doing? God, you know, you may know them by name, and you call them by name. Then you have those who are, you have a spiritual connection with. You kind of go from the social setting to a spiritual connection. You begin to meet, and you know they go to church with you, and you know you're both Christians, and you kind of connect spiritually because you know you have the same Father. And so you begin to connect spiritually. And then you have those who you really go to the next level, and you begin to meet with, and you share scripture in your life, and you share problems you're going through in your life, and you talk about things going on, and you help each other with those problems, and you begin to have significance in their life. Your relationship has gone from a spiritual aspect to even a significant part of their life because you are helping them as a support mate. You're helping them support friend, helping them grow. And then, of course, you have those who become soulmates, those who you know that you've been through the fire together, you've been through deaths together, you've been through divorce together, you've been through children having problems, you've been through some very major crises in your life, and those people stuck by you and they helped you through those problems. And those people become soulmates for the rest of your life. You know, no matter what you go through, no matter how bad you fail or how good you do, whatever you do, these people are going to be there with you. And today, you know, we all look at relationships differently. I mean, we studied this out, and we know this is something to be so true. I mean, sometimes we'll have a group of people over, a staff or different people over, and we'll watch the ball games, and we'll have things going on. It's just so funny to watch because all the guys will be in the living room watching the ball game, okay? And the guys, we relate this way. The game is on, we don't have to talk a lot, do we? We're fine, you know. The game's on, and we're like, you know. We're not really saying a lot, making a lot of strange noises. Some of them good, some not so good. But we're relating, we're bonding. Hey, this is a cool person. Hey, they're cool. You know, they hadn't said five words to each other all night, but, you know, we're cool. Yeah, me and him, we watched the game together. We're tight, you know. Ooh. Guys, we relate that way. And all the girls, where are they at? They're all around the table talking, you know. They're all around. Oh, my God. You know, just talking about everything that's going on in their life. I don't know, things they go through in their life. You know, what are girls talking about? Estrogen or something like that. They're all talking about things. Guys, we're watching the game making sounds. The women are in the kitchen talking about estrogen. And we communicate totally different, okay? We have a total different way of communicating to each other. That's why it's all different. It's all different how we communicate to each other, relate to each other. And if we're not careful, we kind of fall into this. I mean, this is so funny. I used to be a youth pastor for 12 years, and we would do breakout groups and small groups. And this is no lie. I'd break the guys up into a group. We used to do guys and girls because we thought it was better. You know, we get the guys into a small group and the girls into a small group. But it didn't work out that way. It was good because the guys, they would take the whole lesson, 2 pages, you know, of notes, and within 5 minutes, they are done. They've gone through that lesson in 5 minutes. And, all right, can we play Xbox? You know, they're ready to go, you know. And then the girls, they spend a whole hour, and you have to break them up because time's up. And they come out, and they're like, you know, I never met you before this meeting, but you are my best friend. I love you. I mean, we relate so differently as guys and girls, and it's just a natural process. You know what I'm talking about. The past man, you know, the girls are crying. They just understand me, you know. And guys are like, cool, where's the Xbox? You know, we relate differently. We bond differently. But it's important that we move beyond where we're at and realize that God has called us to have significant relationships with each other. God has called us to make each other better and to have these most valuable people around us. Let's talk about this today. We need people in our lives, not just any people, but people we call MVPs, people who are the most valuable players in our life. We need to raise the bar a little bit for people who hang around, not just anybody, but people who will improve us, who will sharpen us. Proverbs 13 says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but whoever walks with fools will suffer harm. We know that to be true. So how do we do this today? Let's talk about this. What type of people should champions hang around? What type of people should champions hang around? If you want to be a champion today, you need to hang around people who, first of all, motivate your character. Motivate your character. People who motivate your character. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend. We need to hang around people who are going to motivate you to be better. Who is it that you hang around when you hang around them that you know that they just challenge you to do better? Make a note of that in your life. Who is it? Ask yourself that question. Who is it when I'm around them? I can't help. I want to be a better Christian. Who is it when I'm around them? I just want to be a better boss or a better employer. Who is it when I hang around them? I want to be a better husband or a better wife. Who is it when I hang around them? I want to be a better student. I want to make better grades. Who is it that you hang around who caused you to want to do the right thing? Who caused you to want to grow spiritually and to mature? Make a note of these people. These are the people, when they're around them, they challenge you. And you say, you know what? I need to surround myself with more of these kinds of people. People who motivate my character. People who motivate me to do the right thing. Listen, this is such a very important key. And I just want to tell you, this is one of the most essential keys to spiritual growth that I could ever relate to you as a pastor. I can get you praying. I can get you understanding worship, understanding the Word of God, reading the Word of God. And these are all things that will help you. I can teach you spiritual truths and insight and get you growing. But I would tell you this. I can do all this work and we can get you already discipled. But when you hang around bad people, it just deflates everything we're teaching you. Because it will eat at you like a cancer. It will eat at you and tear you down. And so you got to learn that I've got to hang around people who are going to motivate me. If you're in high school today, listen, don't hang around people who are dropping out of high school. Don't hang around people who are always going to the party and always getting in trouble. If you want to go to college, you want to get a scholarship, you want to get an education, you want to do something yourself, say, you know what, I'm going to separate myself from the gang and I'm going to do good. Parents, we say that to our kids all the time, don't we? Yes. And so as parents, we say that. The same way in our own life, parents, we've got to say that I'm going to hang around people who are going to motivate me to do well as also. People who are going to make me be a better father. Not people who want to drag me away from my family, but people who maybe want to be better in my family. Not people who are going to make me do bad in my finances, but people who want to make me do good in my finances. Not people who make me want to talk a bad language, but people who make me want to speak positive words. I've got to learn to hang around people who motivate my character to do better. This is one of the most biggest things as a Christian is learning to hang around the right people. People who motivate your character. And I tell you this, champions know that they got to hang around the right people. You don't see champions hanging around losers, but they get themselves surrounded by the right people. V stands for value your soul. People who value your soul. We got to learn the people around us who will listen to us. We got to have people in our camp who value who you really are. People who value your soul. People who really care about the best thing for you. Because the result of this is really healing. Look what it says here in James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And I tell you that probably a lot of us here, we don't have people in our life that we really can confess our sins to. Let's be honest. Do you really have somebody you could call up and say, you know what? This is what I was thinking this week. This is what I was really struggling with this week. Some of you may have some people like that. But do you really have somebody that close? That's what the Word of God is talking about. Every one of us need to have people we can call up and do that to. You know, I have people in my life that I can do that with, and I even do that with. I called the guys on the staff the other day. I said, hey, I was doing it comically because we keep accountable. I said, I want you to know, I got my Sports Illustrated swimsuit model edition in the mail today, and I threw it away. And so I just let them know that right away. I called them to know, and what was bad was they were digging through my trash that night, and I didn't appreciate it. But no, they would. But I say that comically, but you know what? I've got groups of people around me that if I'm struggling with something, I can call and tell them. And we're accountable to each other. And there's a lot of times the guys on the staff will call me and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm going through this. I want to be accountable. I'm doing this. And, hey, just I want you to know this is what's going on because we're learning to be accountable to each other and to open up. And I know that there's nothing I couldn't confess to them. There's nothing they couldn't confess to me. The same way here that we got to learn to be able to do that. We got to have relationships that we can confess to each other. Because why? Because what does it do? That I may be healed. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen, you want to be healed from what you're going through? You got to have somebody to be accountable to. You can have somebody you confess what you're really struggling with. Every one of us need these kinds of people that we can talk to in our life. P stands for people who praise your journey. People who praise your journey. Listen, champions have people who motivate them to do better, people who value their soul, who really care about them, who you can be honest with. And then champions also have people who praise their journey, people who praise your journey. I never met anybody in my life who said, stop encouraging me. You know, that's one thing I've never met. Anybody in my life who's ever said, stop, Pastor. Stop encouraging me. Stop praising me. Never once has my kid said, Dad, quit it, please. You know, enough of this praise already, okay? Can you go back to griping a little bit? That never happens. It never happens. Dad, would you please, you know, go back and tell me about how dirty my room was. And can you just go do that instead of tell me how good I'm doing in school? Come on, Dad, stop, please, you know. Please, just stop. It doesn't happen. People don't say that, do they? People don't say, stop praising me. Matter of fact, we're just the opposite. People are like, please, somebody praise me. Because inside all of us, we have a desire to be praised and affirmed, don't we? That's just to be honest. Every one of us like affirmation. Every one of us like it when people praise us. And look what it says here in Hebrews 10:24. Think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. That we are called to praise each other along this journey. And everybody needs people who are going to praise them. I'm not talking about people who are just going to slap you on the back no matter what you're doing and say, good job, good job. Who are going to look a blind away. But everybody needs somebody who's going to say, hey, you're doing it. You know what? I know you're feeling down today, but you know what? Look where you were last year. Look at how you struggled last year. You're not struggling near as much as you were last year, and you're doing better. Look how much better you've been doing. Look how things have been changing in your life. Look at the progress you've been making. You need people who will continue to point out the progress in your life. And let me tell you this. This is the kind of person you need to be in your life. People who praise people. Let me give you a little leadership lesson 101. Okay, so this, you can save the $500 for the seminar on how to make friends and influence people. They'll send you to business school, and they'll teach you how to influence people. You want to know how to influence people? You want to know how to get people to like you and how to be influenced by you? Just learn to praise them. It's a scripture thing. Learn to praise people. Look for the good inside them. I decided a long time ago I was going to be a praiser, and I was going to lift people up. And it's so easy to do that you can lift people up to the place where you want them to be better than I can beat them down to that place. I can't talk negative to my kids and get them to the place I want them to be. Now, sometimes I see that happen. Sometimes I get into a rut, and I'll begin to talk to them about the things that are going wrong, and I realize instead of making them do better, I'm making it worse. But it doesn't make a difference. We got to learn to praise people. We got to learn to praise people. We got to learn to say, you know what? You're doing okay. You're doing better than you were. Everybody wants somebody to praise them. Everybody needs somebody to praise them in their life. You need people around you who are going to encourage you when you're going through. Jesus was so good at this. I mean, Jesus led by example. When others saw an old stinking fisherman who could just fish and couldn't do anything else, Jesus saw Peter, who was a rock, who one day would help build the New Testament church. When everybody else saw somebody who would cut off an ear, when somebody else saw somebody who would open mouth, insert foot, everybody else saw somebody who would deny Christ. Jesus saw somebody as the first day of Pentecost when he would stand up and say, listen, let me give you the first sermon here on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved. Jesus sees people for who they are, and he acknowledges in them. He sees people. He saw Zacchaeus as the person God had called him to be, not the cheating tax collector who was doing everybody wrong. I mean, Jesus was so good at seeing people for who they were called to be. Everybody needs people around them who are going to help make them better. So how do we do that? How do we become a most valuable player in teams around us? How do we develop a team of MVP people around us? How to develop an MVP, say it real fast, MVP team. A, acknowledge your desire for MVPs in your life. It starts right here. First of all, you just got to acknowledge, you know what? I need people around me. I want people around me. You first of all got to acknowledge it. Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him that he loved him as he loved his own soul. Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him that he loved him as he loved his own soul. That David and Jonathan had developed this kind of relationship. We see it happening. You got a desire. You want people around you who are going to be these kind of people in your life. B, you got to broaden your perspective. Say, I really want that kind of person in my life. And how many of us today, you know, we want this kind of people in our life? Some of you are saying, Pastor, I would love to have MVPs in my life. I would love to have these MVPs. And some of you today, you think, Pastor, if I could just have, you know, if Joel Osteen could just go to lunch with me every week, You know, Joel Osteen, he could say, hey, welcome to Burger King today. God bless you, you know. I can start off this meal with something funny every day. Let me just tell you this story. I mean, whatever. Some of you think if I could just be with Joel Osteen every week, Pastor, I would be, you know. Listen, Joel Osteen's not going to meet with you for lunch. Let me tell you, he's not going to meet me for lunch. Let's be real. Well, God doesn't send anybody to be in my life who's an MVP. And I say you need to broaden your perspective. I would say there's MVPs sitting all around you today in this room. People that you didn't even know could be MVPs in your life. If you will just break out of your shell and acknowledge that, you know what, these people could make me better. There's somebody around me that can make me better. You know what, if I would get involved in a small group and begin to tear down some fears in my life and say, you know what, I want to build some relational places in my life. I can build these walls and get past this and say, you know what, I want to get past these walls and get past a place where I can get a part of a team of people, a small group of people. I say they're around you everywhere. I could tell you this, some of the strongest MVPs in my life were people that I would never thought would have been there before. They're people that if I hadn't given a chance, would have never been there. But because somehow through a chance, I gave them a chance and we began to build relationships, they ended up rising to the surface being some of the strongest influences in my life. And they were great people who motivated me and helped me along my journey. I say broaden your perspective. Reach out and see there's other people out there. See, cultivate the relationships you already have. Instead of always saying, I've got to find new people. I've got to find new people. I've got to find some new friends. I say, look around. They're around you. You got relationships with people right now who could already be your MVPs. You just don't know who they are because you haven't cultivated that relationship. You haven't tried to take that relationship to the next level. So I say, take what God's already given you. Begin to cultivate that. Some of you have already started maybe meeting in a small group of people. And I say, take it to the next level. Try to do a one-on-one with somebody for lunch and talk to them about something you're going through in your life. Maybe get another couple and go out with them in your small group. You know, find somewhere and take it to the next level. Begin to cultivate relationships you already have. Romans 12 says, don't just pretend that you love others. Really, really love them. Just don't go through the motions, man. Do it. Really love them. Love each other with a genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. So we know that we're called to cultivate these kind of relationships. You know, it's amazing what people will do if we'll just learn to ask a question. Some of you, you know why you don't have good relationships, MVPs in your life? Some of you, I can tell you right now, some of you here, you say, you know, Pastor, I would love to have these kind of people who could speak to me, but I just don't have anybody who will speak to me. And I would say to you, if you'll be quiet and let them speak, they will speak. Because some of us are so great at talking all the time, aren't we? I got this relationship, but nobody's speaking to me. And I wonder, are you the one speaking all the time? And so nobody else can get a word in. Sometimes we got to be quiet. Let me tell you something. How many would love to be a good counselor? Would you like to be a good counselor? Let me give you. You know, Lissa's going to school for be a counselor, right, Lissa? I can tell you, I've taken some counseling classes myself in college and do something as a pastor, obviously. And so let me tell you the key, one of the biggest keys to being a good counselor, is just being a good listener. It really is. So people just need somebody to listen to. And that you got to learn to listen to people. And you got to learn to say, I really respect what you have to say. I want to hear what you have to say. I mean, it starts at home. This is how we cultivate our children. We got to learn to listen to our children. And as parents, sometimes we don't do that very well. We're always telling them what to do, but we don't always listen to them. The other day, I had to go to one of my kids and apologize because I was getting on to them about something that I thought was happening. And when I really took time to calm down and investigate it, I was wrong. The story was reversed. And it really wasn't what I thought it was. And so I had to go back and apologize. And if I really would just take time to listen from the very beginning, I wouldn't have had to go back and apologize. And I would have saved myself some of that trouble and not had to put them through the harassment of their father being upset at them. And so we've got to learn that. We've got to learn to communicate, and it starts. So I try talking to my kids. I come home, Pastor, and I ask them, you know, how's their day? And what they learn, they say, nothing. That's the best curriculum you hear at school. You know, all my kids have that same curriculum. What'd you learn today? Nothing. You know, how many of your kids have that same curriculum every day? They ask them what they learn. Nothing. I didn't learn anything. Nothing. And it's amazing. But I found this out, that if you've got to pick the right time, and you got to pick how to say the question. I don't ask them what they learn. I just, you know, wait till they're ready to talk, and then I talk. I would just, let me give you a little hint right here. You know when the best time to talk to your children are, to get them really talk to you? It's at bedtime. When you tuck them in at night, do it a few minutes earlier. And when you tuck them in, You know why they want to talk to you? Because they don't want to turn the light out and go to bed. My kids are smart. They know that if I can talk to Dad all night, he won't make me go to bed. So when it gets bedtime, all of a sudden they want to open up and chatter. And so that's the best time to maybe talk to your kids, not when they're trying to play Xbox and they just come from school and they're ready to get out there and play and they want to vent and ride their bike and shoot some hoops or play some baseball or do whatever. That's not the time to say, what did you learn today at school? But wait till they're kind of got through their afternoon and they're ready to go to bed and they want to stay up and talk a little bit. You know, as a parent, use wisdom. And the same thing happens in our own lives. Use wisdom with people who you're trying to develop these relationships with. You got to learn to be a good listener. Find out their story. If you want somebody to know your story, find out their story first. Take them out and tell me your story. Tell me what you've gone through in your life. What's some things God's brought you through? And then what's some things you're struggling with? Be a good listener and see if that is in reverse and help you along the way. D, dare to ask to begin the journey. Dare to ask a few to begin the journey with you. Proverbs 18 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What does this scripture mean? Obviously, it's talking about a friend who sticks closer than a brother is Jesus, but the first part of it is talking about a man who has many companions may still come to ruin. Basically, means you may have all the friends in the world and say you may have 10,000 friends on your MySpace account, but are they really your friends? You may have people and you say, oh, everybody here is my friend. Pastor, I love them all, but are they really your friends? I mean, are they really your friends? And he said a man who may say they have lots of friends could really come to ruin very easily because if they haven't cultivated some really close relationships, that's where it's really fruitful at. The fruit comes in the small relationship. The fruit comes in the personal relationship. The fruit's not in having a multitude of friends. The fruit's in having meaningful, fruitful relationships. That's why you can come to a church of this size and say, oh, I'll go to a church down here, Destiny Church, that's great. You know, but really, when the rubber meets the road, that small group becomes such an important thing because that's where you're going to be connected at. That's where you're going to build relationships at. That's why you get involved in ministry. That's why you get involved in small groups and you serve and you meet people and you cultivate those relationships. At E, you express God's love in these relationships. You learn to express God's love in these relationships. 1 John 4, dear friends, since God loves us that much, we certainly ought to love each other. We surely ought to love each other. We got to learn to express God's love in relationships the right way. That God longs for us to express his love. How many know that you can't give what you don't have? You can't give what you don't have. So when you experience God's love and forgiveness, we're called in return to give out that love and forgiveness. You can't give out what you don't have. So you got to learn to say, you know what, God, I've got your love. I've got your forgiveness. Now I need to learn to give it to others. Every one of us need valuable people around us who are going to make us better, who are going to cultivate us to be a better person, a better Christian, a better father, a better mother, a better student, people who are going to grow in our Christian walk. But it comes when we say, you know what, I'm going to get out of my shell, and I'm going to go to a small group. I'm going to get involved with people. I'm going to build relationships with people. Now, if you're leading a small group tonight, can you just stand? If you're leading a small group tonight, I want to make sure we know who you are. Anybody here who's leading a small group, some home group leaders that are meeting throughout tonight? Yeah. Stand up. If you want to be involved in a small group tonight and you haven't gotten involved in one yet, see one of these leaders right here and tell them, where are you at? Let me be involved. I want to come to your home tonight. Thank you, guys. Be seated. This is where it's at. Pastor, why are you spending so much time talking about relationships and small groups? Because it's going to help us grow. It's going to take us to the next level. It's going to help you be the MVP that God's called you to be. Inside every one of you, I told you, there's a spiritual giant inside every one of us. God's got spiritual giants, but it's more than just coming to church on Sunday morning. It's more than just learning to put disciplines in our life and daily disciplines, but it's connecting with people. When you see someone win the gold medal, he didn't do it alone. Oh, they may have ran that race alone, and they may have been a single event where a single person competed, and they won that gold medal. But you remember, there was parents who were supporting them all their life since they were a kid, taking them to camps and training centers, and many of them living miles apart from the other spouse and taking on 2 or 3 jobs to help pay for it. You have coaches who move to these camps and spend these kids. You have tutors who go and tutor them all kinds of hours because they're spending training in the Olympic trials and they're doing this. And you have sponsors who give up money to help them support them and help them live so they can train and become the Olympics and represent the USA in the Olympics. I mean, you got all these different people, friends and family and networks who are helping support this person getting to the Olympics. And when that person wins a gold medal, yeah, that person receives a gold medal around their neck. But it was a team of people. There was a ton of people who helped them get to that process. That person never could have done it on their own. if they had all the great ability in the world without the right sponsors, without the right trainers, without the right coaches, without the right support system, they never would have got there. And so in everyone, there is giants inside of us. There are spiritual champions inside of every one of us. God has called everyone to be a spiritual champion. And it's there. We got to surround ourselves with the right people that are going to help us reveal that. We got to surround ourselves with people. And I want to be that kind of person in return. I want to help you grow. You need to be that kind of friend. So I'm going to be the kind of friend who helps others motivate their character. And I want to help them affirm their soul. I want to help them, you know, be passionate about the things of Christ. I want to help them to grow. I want to be that kind of friend. Today, I'm going to invite you today just to bow your heads where you're at as we close out the service. As you bow your head this morning, I always want to ask you this question. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, as you're talking about being a part of a team of people, first thing I need to do, I just need to tell you, I'm not even a part of God's team. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my life as my personal Savior. And today, as you're talking about going to a different level in God and doing some things, I realize that, first of all, I just need to accept Jesus Christ into my life and be a part of God's team. And today, if you're here and nobody's looking but me, I'm not going to embarrass you at all. Maybe you want to join the several others who have made this decision, just like you. Maybe you want to join them and say, you know what, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life. If you're here today and say, that's me, I want to accept Jesus, I'm not going to embarrass you, but would you please, nobody's looking, but could you please just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me, I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life. Can you raise your hand high where I can see it? Anybody here today? Raise it up high. I want to make sure I don't give you a chance. Second question I have for you. You say, Pastor, as you're talking today, and I realize that, number one, maybe today you say, I need to be that kind of person who helps motivate others. I want to be that kind of person who helps bring out the best in others. I want to be that kind of person who can see others develop into the MVPs that God has them to be. Or maybe you hear and say, Pastor, I realize that in order for me to go to the next level, I've got to get past some hang-ups in my life. I got to get past some barriers that I've put there. I've been scared to get involved in small group relationships because I just don't trust people. I have a hard time trusting small groups of people, getting close to anybody. But today, as you're speaking, I realize that in order for me to grow spiritually, in order for me to go to the next level, in order for me to be the champion that God's called me to be, I'm going to have to learn to let down some walls and allow myself to be a little more vulnerable to people and build some relationships. And if that's you and God's speaking to you about one of those two areas, can you raise your hand and say, it's me? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, yeah, thank you. God's speaking to you about developing these kind of relationships or being this kind of friend. Thank you. That's good. Anybody else today? That's me. Nobody's looking but me. I just want to give you a chance to respond to the message today. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to invite you to stand with me today. Next week will be Easter Sunday, of course, and many of you know that. Easter comes early this year. Let me give you a couple things before we pray today that heads up. I wanted to invite you to get here early next week if you can. Come 10, 15 minutes earlier than you normally would. Get here. Class is going to be full. Our children's classrooms will be full, so we're going to need make sure we have organized time to get everybody in their classrooms and settled in, come in and scoot into the front. We'll have extra chairs out, and we're expecting a great crowd next week, overflow crowd, and it's going to be a packed house next week, so it's going to be fun. Connie's will be closed on Easter, so we can park the whole parking lot here, and if we need to, there's parking in the back as well. And so it's going to be a full day, and so come early and get your spot and move in, talk to new people as they're coming in. We'll have a lot of guests who visit for the first time next week, and so look to show yourself friendly and to meet new people. Can we do that next week? All right, is that good? How many this week can say, Pastor, I'll be praying this week? How many raise your hands? Pastor, I'll pray this week. A salvation will take place next week. I believe people. We got some new salvation packets in. We just got them in this week, and we got new Bibles and reading material for them. We got them put together, and so I ordered a bunch because out of faith, I believe we're going to need them. We're going to need them. Amen? You believe that? We're going to give them away. We gave away several dozen this year of people who accepted Christ for the first time. I believe there's going to be a bunch next Sunday and Sundays after that. We're going to continue to see people come to the Lord. And so I just believe that's what God's called us to do. We're going to cast the net. So that starts. Invite somebody next week, okay? I guarantee there's people at your work, at your school, in your neighborhood, people in your circle of friends who would love to go to church somewhere next week or even thinking about going because it's Easter, and they're just waiting for somebody to give them an invitation. So I just tell you, invite people. Invite people. Don't be afraid to invite them. Invite them to come and say, come on Easter Sunday. The person who says no all year long many times will say yes on Easter. And come and get them to be here. There's people here today that came on Easter for the first time and are still coming now because they came on Easter. Because God got a hold of their life and they're changing their life. And you never know who that person you invite may be the same person who God gets a hold of their life and they change their life and come for a long time. I know many of you are already meeting with people who are seeking after God. And I'm going to be praying for you this week that God will give you wisdom as you meet with those groups of people and are leading them through Bible studies and teaching them. That God will give you wisdom and favor as you lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray for those who raised their hands today, and all of us especially, that God would cause us to be the MVP that God wants us to be. I want to be the most valuable person that God's called me to be. And that's different for me than it is for you. And it's different for you than it is for the person next to you, because we're unique, and God has gifted us uniqueness in our giftings and calling. But I know this, inside every one of us, there's a champion that God is longing to reveal if we'll just yield our heart to Him. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now for every person who, especially every person who raised their hand this morning. I pray for them, Father, who said they want to learn to be an MVP person or learn to surround themselves with people around who will make them better. So I pray to God that you will, in their life, begin to show them that influence plays such a big part of our Christian walk with you. That we'll learn to hang around the right kind of people, we'll learn to be around the right kind of influencers in our life. God will begin to separate ourselves from negative people, separate ourselves from people who bring us down, but God will learn to get a part of a support system of people who will make us better. God, help us to let go of fear in our life that have kept us from building relationships with others. God, help us to go to a small group to connect with people, to build each other up, to encourage each other, and together we can win the loss for you. We can win the loss for you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. We say together, amen. Amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. I say, man, it's good to see you.